It's Midday Magazine for Friday, September 13th. I'm Shelby Herbert. Petersburg's Library Board has two open seats in next month's municipal election. Three people are running. The board helps the library communicate with the public and plan for the future. It also acts as a sounding board for policy changes with borough librarian Tara Alcock. KFSK's Hannah Floor sat down with incumbent Alec McMurrin to talk about why he's running for the position. He says one reason is that he loves the Petersburg Library, but there are other reasons too.
One is it's the oh boy factor. It's a lot of fun. And the discourse with the intelligent and effective people that are on that library board, very stimulating. And then, you know, there's the more noble part of it, which is I'd like to provide maybe people in the community and especially kids with the opportunity that was provided for me to access just the world of ideas. When you walk into the library, it just glows with a, you know, with that oh boy factor. And I remember that, and so that would be the noble idea.
What experience do you have that makes you a good candidate for the library board?
Time served, 20 years on the library board. You know, I think about diverse experience, too, life experience. And everybody in this community seems like they're pretty diverse, or many people are. And it's certainly true of the library board. And so maybe I'll tell you a little bit about my diversity here at this point, which, you know, 40 years ago, started out with a fishing boat, the Bernice A. Immediately bought the Bernice A from Andy Grenier. And to my delight, I had a charge account with everybody in town just immediately. Just on my good taste for buying a boat like the you say, and my association with good people. And, you know, so there was the experience with the fishing industry. And then I worked for AML for 15 years, you know, and developed relationships with people in the community and then the international shipping company. So the ability to work with other people, working situations, and that's fun.
What do you think the library currently does really well?
The library does provide a forum for community engagement. And nationwide, that's been a tendency or a need, it seems like, in the last few years. And that was always the intention of the library. When we built the library, we had meeting rooms in mind, so community places for community to engage, and the programming that is made available.
What would you like to see changed or improved at the library?
One thing that is getting improved at the library that has a little way to go maybe could be the security. You know, everybody on the board and myself is concerned that the people that work there feel secure, feel safe, and feel cared for. And here in this last year, there's been some work towards that in some back and forth with a group that with the city. And there's been some work done with the police department in training. There's actually a pamphlet called Black Belt Librarian. And so that may be the extreme side of what I'm talking about. I think that would be one.
Is there anything else you'd like to add?
Well, just that I've been proud and I'd be delighted to continue serving on the library board. When I look at the library here in my head, you know, visually I'm seeing a totem pole. I'm seeing a lot of fish with a lot of people's names on them, and I'm seeing this beautiful display out in front, and then you walk into the library and people have reported to me what a great experience it is and how much they appreciate it is and how inspiring it is and how well cared for it is and how well people in the community are served by it. So it's just to continue on to kind of ride on the shirt tails of all that's been done and the people that are involved now is just something I'd be proud to do again.
That was incumbent candidate for Library Board Alec McMurrin speaking with KFSK's Hannah Floor. KFSK has been airing conversations with candidates for the Library Board this week, and those can be found at kfsk.org. Petersburg's municipal election is Tuesday, October 1st. Early voting is available weekdays from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the municipal building. Like other Southeast communities, Juneau is in the middle of prime black bear habitat. Bears and people have to share the city, and new research hopes to figure out how to do that more peacefully. The number of bears killed in Alaska has quadrupled since the 1980s. Just this summer, the Alaska Department of Fish and Game euthanized two young bears in downtown Juneau after they became aggressive while eating from trash cans. Roy Churchwell is the Wildlife Management Coordinator for Southeast Alaska, and he suspects that climate change might be contributing to more bear problems.
There have been some upticks in some years because it's become a little more common for there to be fewer fish and fewer berries. And when that happens, that brings more bears into town.
He says when bears have trouble finding their natural foods, they might turn to urban foraging. That's a fancy way of saying that they eat our trash. That's a problem for public safety. But to fix it, wildlife managers need more information. That's why they've commissioned Binta Wald, a researcher from the University of Alaska Fairbanks. This summer, Wald sent out a survey to 5,000 randomly selected Juneau residents. She's hoping to learn more about how bears and people are interacting in town.
So how many people are getting their trash broken into every year? How many people are experiencing property damage? And is there anything we can learn about that group of people?
Wald says maybe bear-resistant trash cans are cost prohibitive, or maybe neighborhoods that lack garages for trash storage see more bears roaming around, and maybe overflowing trash cans attract bears to areas that are crowded with tourists. Those are the kinds of patterns that the survey can illuminate. She says nearly 1,000 people have filled out the survey so far. And while there are no concrete results, most respondents agree that bears cause serious problems in town, but they also care about protecting them. Binta said, quote, so far a majority of quotes of folks responding are also saying that they enjoy living alongside bears and that the benefits of living alongside bears outweigh the costs. So it's a complex story, end quote. The goal is for the survey to simplify that story, or at least help wildlife managers to make sense of it. That's so they can come up with strategies to help bears and Junoites continue living side by side with minimal conflict. The Clausen Memorial Museum is currently hosting the Annabelle Baker Memorial Art Show. This year, the theme is layered landscapes, and it showcases a variety of mediums, from painting and photography to weavings and poetry. KFSK's Olivia Schmidt visited the exhibit and spoke with some of the artists about their contributions.
Walking into the Clausen Memorial Museum, guests are greeted by a large painting of the muskeg, bisected by a wooden boardwalk. The vegetation in the foreground is a bright green, while the distant mountains are painted in shades of blue and gray.
And the sky was just starting to break from the gray to a little bit of blue coming in.
That's Beth Floor, the artist.
It's just like this perfect kind of summer day walk on that boardwalk. I want it to feel like you can just go on the boardwalk and up the trail.
Just like viewers are led into the painting, Floor's piece leads viewers into the art show. It's put on every year by the Rainforest Festival. The exhibit honors one of their founding members, Ann Baker, who was known around Petersburg as Annabelle. Baker was a community activist, athlete, and an avid artist. She passed away in 2012 from breast cancer. After her death, the Rainforest Art Show she loved was dedicated to her memory. This year, the gallery holds almost 100 works by various local artists. The installation currently seems to inhabit every nook and cranny of the museum. But in the days leading up to the event, organizers were worried they wouldn't have enough pieces to put on the show. Rainforest Festival committee member Chris Weiss explains.
As of Monday, there were only three, and it was a little tense there, but we know Petersburg always comes through. We have photographs, weavings, poetry, watercolor, we have acrylic. You name it, pretty much, we have it.
Marilyn Menishmuchi, another committee member, is also struck by the variety of art on display.
There's a lot of different things I like here. Some of it is more modern, not a definitive style or shape, but just depends. Color catches my eye. I like color. I'm intrigued by what the high school kids did, what Ashley's kids did.
Menishmuchi is referring to the works of the adolescent artists in the museum. All are in some way the creations of Ashley's kids. Ashley Lohr is a local art teacher, and she contributed 40 pieces that her students have made in the past week.
As art students, I always tell them that we're going to need to learn how to be a well-rounded artist. So not just being a creative person and completing projects, but talking about their work. I think that when they come to the show and they get to see it, they'll be proud of themselves, but also encouraged to be open for more opportunities in the future to participate.
In addition, the youngest artists to have work on display are Lore's actual kids, Rose and Finn.
I did a artwork. Looking outside, I'm like, oh, I think I should, since it's forest theme, I should paint a forest.
I painted me fishing.
Finn points to his work, a painting of a small child holding various strips of color.
I like this part when I get all these fish.
On the opposite end of the room from Rose's forest and Finn's fish is a field of forget-me-nots. Over 25 watercolor paintings of the flower were donated to the show by the high school art class. Iris Case is one of the students.
In class, we picked our state flower, and everyone kind of did like a mix of ink and watercolor. I really like watercolor a lot because I feel like a lot of the watercolor colors describe Alaska. It really depicts what Alaska looks like.
Iris's mom, Carrie Carmichael Case, also has work in the exhibit. She's a photographer and brought two photos that show off the textured landscape of Southeast. One is of a glacier breaking into the sea, and the other...
That is one that I took at sunset, coming in on a helicopter ride, actually, and it's showing the toe of Petersburg Mountain, Bear Claw, Duncan Pass, and the farthest ridges you can see are Kiyu Island. What I really love about this show is that we're all looking at technically the same landscapes, but are being inspired in different mediums and ways.
On a display across from Case's photo, that principle is exemplified by the watercolor paintings of Mitkoff's Mountains by Lohr's middle school art class.
This is a way to kind of jump right in and give them that taste of what a well-rounded artist does. There's that atmospheric perspective happening where there's the mountain range. We talked about how to use watercolor in layers and to bring out the vibrance of that color by layering it over and over. And layering is the theme anyway with the art show.
Lohr was astonished by the level of community participation in the show.
It's always exciting to see the well-roundedness of medium that happens in town, the acceptance of all levels, and the encouragement of becoming. I'm very excited to see new names or new mediums coming out.
One of those new faces in the art scene of Petersburg is Melina Marvin.
Well, this is my first time ever participating in an art show.
Marvin submitted two watercolors to the collection.
It's been my goal to actually do some art and be in an art show and become a Petersburg artist. I tend to have a burn rate of like three pieces that I throw away to one piece that I keep because I'm not a professional. I'm just trying to learn and express how I feel about what I see.
Marvin credits local resident Pia Riley with teaching her the watercolor process. Riley herself was heavily involved in the arrangement of the exhibit and submitted two pieces to the show as well, although her chosen medium for this event was oil paint.
I kind of like a little bit more abstract art for myself when I paint, but the paintings in here are kind of semi-abstract. I was outside this summer and painted them. It's basically the view from my house across to the mainland. And then the one has kind of northern lights in it.
Fellow Rainforest Committee member Sunny Rice also took the show's prompt in a more conceptual direction by composing a poem.
I was walking through the muskeg, and it's usually this time of year where the dew sits on every single spider web, and there are spider webs. There are so many spider webs that you don't even know are there until the dew does this.
Rice says that the wide range of projects on display at the museum is exactly what Baker would have wanted for the show.
She was so community-oriented, and she was so supportive of the arts community. And I hope people think about how we all live together in this tiny town, even though this is the time of year where we're being pulled apart from each other, and remember how we all actually work together and thrive in one place.
The Annabelle Baker Memorial Art Show demonstrates the diverse perspectives and creativity of Petersburg's artists, young and old. Whether it's a student's watercolor or a seasoned artist's photograph, the show invites visitors to explore layered landscapes in both art and life. Reporting from Petersburg, I'm Olivia Schmidt.
The exhibit will remain on display through September 14th. That's tomorrow. As a note of disclosure, Melina Marvin, Pia Riley, and Chris Weiss are all volunteers at KFSK. That's it for Midday Magazine. Thanks so much for joining me. And reporting for KFSK, I'm Shelby Herbert.